Hello and welcome to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast, the World Cup Special, with myself, Craig, Tom Holmes.
Ahoy.
And our resident expert, Ash Kemsworth.
I don't know if I can live up to that intro.
There's no ahoy. But yeah, we're going to be taking you through the World Cup fantasy football style. Obviously, we need to get our fantasy football fix in the summer months. And no better place to do it in the World Cup. We're just at the end now of the first round of matches from the group stage. Fantasy football leagues are starting to take shape, including our own. So we've started to sort of see who's at the top, who's at the bottom. Ash, where are we at?
Well, obviously as the resident expert, I've plummeted to near bottom of the table. Yeah. Nowhere near the genius of Tom, who's set a new record for disappointment.
Absolutely.
I think, Craig, you might be in the lead, are you?
I am absolutely in the league. It's a pretty staggering league of 15 at the moment.
15, yeah.
It is open to entry still. People can still enter. So if you get on Twitter, at the Gaffer Tapes, you can still get in that league. I'd rather you didn't, truth be told. Tom would really rather you didn't, but there is still scope for getting in there. But it's still tight. It's early days.
You have only got a little time to join before I mercilessly crush you all in the league.
This is it.
Destroy your hopes for the rest of your life.
I think it is still early days, isn't it?
Yeah.
Regardless.
Much like the World Cup itself. I don't know about you guys, but I'm already sort of pretty depressed about the fact that it's going to end eventually.
Yeah. It's been the best World Cup I can remember from growing
definitely,
up.
Definitely. I mean, I personally, I'm 28. I think I only really... I kind of vaguely remember 94. I was, 8 years old, 94. So 98 was the big one that I started really getting into it. So, yeah, it's definitely the best one.
I think this is the best one since 98. 98 was good.
Yeah, 98 was brilliant, yeah. But just for the quality of players that they had at the time, you know.
I think the only bad thing about this, compared to previous World Cups, has to be the intro scene. It's no Italia 90, is it?
No.
It's no Ness and Dorma.
There's no Ness and Dorma. But 98, I remember 98 because, funnily enough, in my fantasy football team then, when I did it with the Telegraph, I put Rob Lee in my squad, my side, because he was a bargain for a reason, and I thought he was going to make a big impact. He didn't.
Was he in the squad?
He was in the squad. Rob Lee was in the squad.
Wow.
It's hard to put them in the side if they're not in
there. I was going to say. Well, I thought that's what you were going to say.
Yeah, I had Rob Lee, Francis Benali, Warren Barton. It was a disaster. I just did rubbish all around.
Colton Palmer.
It was terrible. But yeah, so we should actually explain why, Ash, obviously you are our resident expert in fantasy football.
Yeah, vaguely. Well, I mean, compared to you two, yes, definitely.
I think anyone's an expert.
In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. But tell us, because yours is quite an impressive stat.
It's serious credentials.
Yeah, I mean, I was once very nearly top of the official Premier League one. I was riding the crest of a fourth-place finish for quite a while.
Yeah.
In the end, I finished 80th. But it was still out.
But how many people are we talking?
I don't know. I mean, I've never really looked up. I mean, I would say 2.763 million. Just like, I don't know.
So 80th out of 2.763 million. I mean, Tom's the maths guy. What top percentile is that, mate?
You know, well up there.
It is well up there. So Ash is that's why obviously he is the resident expert. So who's standing out? What, who and why? I'm top of the league. Why am I top of the league?
Well, I don't know. Who have you picked?
I'll tell you why.
Who have you got, Craig?
We'll run through some teams. I think it's only fair that as the reigning champion over a man who came 80th out of 2.763 million.
I think there's a...
To be fair, calling yourself the reigning champion, I don't know if
The current top. Obviously, I picked Müller from Germany.
That's a good shout.
Who went straight in with a cheeky little hat-trick. And my front three... Well, they're still not to play yet, but Neymar and Müller have pretty much done all my damage, and I think they're probably on the MVP list for everyone at the moment.
Yeah.
There are errors in there. I picked Willian from Brazil. I thought he might get some game time. He hasn't. And other than that, you know, Mertesacker picked up some points. But the thing is that struck me so far is that all the big strikers from the big teams have generally started to deliver. Normally there's disappointments already, but Robin Van Persie's chipped in with goals, Neymar's chipped in with goals, Müller, the golden boot from the last World Cup, chipped in with goals. Even on a smaller scale, you know, Danny Sturridge, Lionel Messi, they've all scored goals.
Yeah.
So I think normally at this point you're already writing off someone as a complete disaster in a World Cup.
I actually think, personally, I wrote off Müller because I didn't think he played well in the Champions League final, and I thought playing that like false nine thing, I really didn't see him getting goals, and I wondered where Germany were going to get their goals from. But, I mean, they did fucking smash the other team, didn't they? So,
yeah.
I mean, they were pretty frightening.
It's not a popular opinion in England, but I'd happily see Germany win it.
Yeah, see, I don't mind, yeah. I was happy to see him beat Portugal. I don't like Portugal.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that is just the Cristiano Ronaldo link or something.
Oh, they're a horrible team. Like,
yeah.
Think of those games they've had where they've had, like, people sent off against Netherlands and Spain.
And it's disastrous. Has that affected the people you don't like? Do you find it difficult to pick a player you hate in a fantasy football team?
I kind of do. Like, I in a normal league, I would never have a Tottenham player.
Right.
Being an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
I found it quite hard to pick Suarez last season in the Premier League fantasy football thing. But, I mean, you're stupid if you didn't, I think, yeah. last season. But yeah, I try not to pick players I don't like.
Well, let's hear your team. Let's run us through. Let's run us through what you've got.
My fantastic...
This is Tom. This is it. Tom Holmes' team.
Well, the team that is currently 14th out of 15.
And what are they called again?
Tommy's Guns.
It's a Rocky Five reference, is it? I don't.
Kind of.
It is now.
Yeah, that's definitely what it was.
Let's run us through. Let's have a countdown of your side.
Between the sticks, you're looking at Vorm.
Yeah.
Okay. Solid, yeah. I think...
didn't play, I don't believe.
I don't think he did, no. So that's zero. Then, first defender I picked was Pepe.
Brilliant.
So, I mean, that is a big
We should probably talk about Pepe already.
I think that is a big talking point.
I was surprised, though. He doesn't have a history of getting red cards.
No, he's such a placid fellow. Yeah, usually, this is the thing.
Especially with his new haircut. I thought that was the turning point for him. Now he's gone for the sort of afro thing.
Kind of a Samson thing. But he's a lunatic. He's an absolute lunatic.
He is. And I kind of almost didn't... Well, I say that I didn't factor in cards. I almost put Balotelli in up front. I thought, he might get the odd card. Mm. And then completely overlooked the fact that Pepe is a certified nutcase.
He is.
Yeah, that was... that was crazy.
I didn't think about reds or yellows or anything. I just knew that Pepe was a bit volatile anyway. Mm. But... You know, he plays one of the biggest sides in the world regularly.
That's right, yeah.
He's a start guaranteed starter for Portugal. Not now, obviously, but no. Do you think that's... How old is Pepe now?
Don't know. He's like 29, 30?
Yeah, so I don't know. Is he just a liability for Portugal? Will they bin him off even if they get through? I don't know.
No, I don't reckon so. You've got... I don't really understand why, because when he went down... Was it Müller?
It was Müller, yeah.
He did the dive, and then you saw the referee look at it. And for a minute, I thought, oh, no, he's going to get booked. But the referee totally looked like, no... Yeah. That was a dive. Let's play on.
Yeah.
And then it was like almost like that spurred Pepe on headbutt him.
I think we should be slightly impressed. It takes a very special man who can headbutt someone on the ground. And I think that's worth...
He really had to put the effort in to be able to do that.
That's applauding. Yeah. I've never seen someone headbutted while sat down before. No, that's special.
It's rare.
And I don't think that's in the point system in the fantasy football, but...
Is it not?
It bloody should be.
Right, it should be, because I'd be smashing this league if it was.
But, so who else have you got, obviously? Who else have we run through the back
gone for? With the Arsenal connection of Per Mertesacker and Thomas Vermaelen.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know if anyone heard the news today that Vermaelen looking at going to Man United. That seriously hurt me. I don't know how true that is.
He warmed the bench for you a lot, though.
He did. He went from captain to not even getting picked when he was fit.
Yeah.
He had a serious decline, but what I've heard is United apparently are going to be building their defence next season around Vermaelen.
To be fair, it is only Vermaelen and every other player that's ever played football that's been linked with them.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
So, that is true. I think it's a good bit of business for both if the money's there.
Well, apparently it's going to be some kind of swap with we could potentially have Cleverley.
Seriously?
Well, brilliant.
Yeah. That's true. That's what they're saying.
Well, that is
so unfurious.
He did look, a couple of years ago, he did look like a proper good
player.
Oh,
I loved him. I thought he was what we needed. I thought he was the next Tony Adams. He was solid at the back.
You're not talking about Cleverley, presumably.
Oh, you're talking about Cleverley. I'm talking about Vermaelen.
Right, that's good. That's okay. Yeah.
No, Vermaelen, I thought, could have been the new sort of hero at Arsenal.
Yeah, definitely. From an Arsenal point of view, you've got to be annoyed that the option on Fabregas wasn't taken because you don't need a midfielder. You might take Cleverley in a swap deal.
I know, that's ridiculous, yeah.
That's
apparently
quite upsetting.
We got a bit of money for that, though, the Fabregas deal. Got about $5.5 million from it. It was written in the contract.
Which will buy you about 5.5 Tom Cleverley. So, I mean, that's...
Correct.
That's economics right there. So, run us through, let's go. Keep going through the team. What else we got?
Midfield, you're looking at Xavi. Yaya Toure.
Yep.
Who really didn't come through in the first game for me. Got 0 points.
Yeah.
And when we talk about the betting later, that's something I had a little bit of... I'm not a betting man, but I put a little bit of money on him. And Luka Modric, has got a couple of goals from midfield.
Yeah. I think Yaya Toure is probably one of the highest percentage pick players in the World Cup. He's in mine. He was in my Premier League team last year. He was the only mainstay for the entire season.
Yeah, so yeah. I got the majority.
It's also a very open group, the Ivory Coast group. There's, isn't it, Ivory Coast, Greece, Colombia, and Japan. So you don't know who could go through that group.
Yeah, that's the thing. But I looked at it, and thought he's gonna smash it. He's going to be taking, I think he takes all the penalties, free kicks,
yeah,
pretty much everything. I thought if he has half the form that he had last season, 20-odd goals from midfield, I thought he's
I think he'll still come good. I think he'll still be all
bringing
right.
Bringing the points in. Then up front, I have Messi.
Yeah.
Hulk.
Yeah.
Hulk, I don't know what you think, but I think he's very much taken up the Emil Heskey role. Yeah. Like, looks like he should be big and strong,
never,
but immediately falls over
that
the moment
Emil
someone
Heskey role. Yeah. I mean, that may have been an error. He had a shocker in the Brazil's first game.
He is known in the South American press as the Brazilian Emil Heskey, and I think that'll keep him. What an accolade to be called. So you've got Hulk, Messi, and...
And finally, Lukaku.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you haven't picked up a great deal of points.
I have not.
I mean, who scored? You've got Messi, obviously, got the goal.
Modric has picked up a few points.
Yeah.
And Pepe lost them for me. So that's effectively what we're doing now.
I mean, and Pepe not only let his side down, his country down, but he let Tommy's guns down. I think
I was going to say, he let himself down.
Yeah, I think that's probably...
He let himself down. Yeah, no, he did. He let down Tommy's guns, and that's one thing you never do.
No, that's right. That's what Balboa said. So
absolutely.
So, Ash, let's hear the resident experts team. This is where it is. Let's get schooled.
I had a lot of high hope for my team, but then I think I'm not too sure about the Sun system for point scoring. I prefer a more statistical.
Yeah.
Theirs is a little bit judgment based. So if you go for players who are like a bit underrated, but you think are going to do well.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter because they're not going to pick any bonus points up because the people who do the thing might not necessarily notice it. So I'm going to use that as my excuse for
It's always nice to get an excuse out of the way early.
Yeah. I'll get that in start. Because, I mean, Casillas was the obvious choice to get in goal.
Yeah.
That worked out really well for me.
Yeah, it did.
And in a way, it's got to be the Sun's fault, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So I've got Casillas at the back, who obviously shipped 5 goals in his first
game. Do you think he's at risk for the next game, or is he going to carry on playing?
I think they'll play him.
I think they will.
It's a big statement to drop a goalkeeper after one game.
It really is.
They do have... They've got a ton of goalkeepers, haven't they?
Yeah.
For years, so... I don't know. But, I mean, I... The one thing I do find difficult about fantasy football is where you've got, like, your allegiances. I find it much easier on a season where West Ham have been relegated the season after to do the fantasy football. It's much easier because you've got no pressure of sort of thinking about... You're not swayed in your judgments.
Yeah,
by your home
I mean,
team.
You should do just what everyone else in the country does and not pick any West Ham players. That's the obvious one.
Yeah.
No matter whether you support them or not, that's probably it.
But I go the other way because I think, every week I think, well, we get stuffed every week, so I just pick whoever we're playing against, and then we draw, and I'm like, shit, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But, so it's the same thing. I soft spot, like a bit of a man crush on Casillas. So
right. That's a good a reason as any. If I could have picked Ryan Gosling, I would have.
Yeah, absolutely. So. That didn't work out too well. Then other people haven't done too well. Company, who played today, they obviously conceded immediately.
Yeah.
Rodriguez for Switzerland, who didn't get picked.
Yeah.
Then Alba, another good one, who conceded another 5. But then the rest of the team sort of picked up a little bit. Sacco, who I don't think many people have got for France.
No.
But I think he's going to play every game, and I can't see him conceding too many.
Right.
And they look pretty good in their first game.
It's different with defenders, isn't it? Because no matter how good or bad they are individually, it's about collective scoring. So someone like that can get carried, even if they're capable of a nightmare.
Yeah.
You get the same amount of points for not conceding, even if you try and do keepy-ups in your own box, as Sacco's prone to doing.
I think strategy-wise, it's always good to go for some really budget defenders, but from teams with like solid defences.
Yeah.
Who aren't flair, but are going to like grind out results.
Yeah.
And then I picked Ozil.
Okay.
Germany were super good, but he didn't score any points.
No, he should have scored. He should have scored on a couple of occasions yesterday day when it was.
As the resident Arsenal expert, what did you think?
What did I think of him?
Yeah.
I thought he looked... I didn't think he looked good. I thought he looked how he looked for Arsenal.
Really?
Yeah. He's not been... he's not been as good as I thought he'd be. I mean, it may just be that he needs a season to sort of settle, but yeah... It's been up and down, really.
He's no Tom Cleverley.
He's definitely not he's definitely not a Tom Cleverley. But who knows? Maybe Cleverley will show him the way if we sign him.
Can hope.
Yeah.
So I've sort of gone for a theme in my team. I've gone for people that have had bad seasons, hoping that they would turn it around and be a bit underrated. So I've picked Hazard, who, again, they won, but he wasn't particularly good. And then I picked Honda, who'd had a bad season for Milan, but scored for Japan. So he's the only person that scored me any points.
Yeah.
When you say Honda, you mean E Honda?
Yes,
from Street Fighter.
Yeah. He scored with a 100-hand slap.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. Multiple hand of God.
Yeah.
And then up front, Higuain, Dzeko.
And Dalsim.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, stretchy. Yeah.
And Neymar, obviously.
So you went for an actual theme of people who were turning things around. I like the fact
that's
that,
good. I like that.
I like the fact you've essentially put together the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
So we just, Emilio Estevez is going to pop in, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I picked a whole team full of people that have had bad seasons thinking, well, what you want is a team of people that are playing badly.
Well, I'll talk you through my team. I've got a theme of people who have bad relationship with their fathers. And I went through that. No, it's no real theme on mine, but I've got Akinfeev from Russia.
Yeah.
Again, that group's really open, so I wasn't sure how it was going to go. It's a bit of a gamble, and I can't claim to have seen Spain's demise. Casillas was very close to being in my side. I've got Vertonghen, Mertesacker, Chiellini in it from Italy, and Godin from Argentina. Sorry, Uruguay.
Yeah.
In the midfield, I've got Willian, Muller and Toure, so pretty similar. Muller's obviously the only reason I'm top of the league. And then up front, I've got Cavani, Neymar and Kurzakov, with obviously Russia still to play. Cavani was just because I'm not convinced how... I don't know how bad this Suarez injury is. I don't know. I knew he wasn't going to start the first game, but I don't even know if he'll play 90 minutes of the game against England. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced.
No.
And I just thought if Cavani's a goal threat anyway, let alone when Suarez isn't on the pitch.
Yeah, he is ridiculously good.
So there's some points to be had there, and I've kind of got a bit lucky, if I'm honest. But no theme on mine, just absolute sheer luck. And before we move on, actually, we should talk. Obviously, the England-Italy game, from our point of view, has been the biggest game of the group so far, the first round. And for me, you'll notice not one of us there have picked an England player, have we?
No, that's true.
The three of us. That's incredible.
No.
I think if some of them were a bit probably overcosted. Yeah. Like they always are, like, if you're betting on England.
I think they are, I was looking at, I think it was defenders, and I think Cahill and Jagielka were so high up there, I thought, Jesus.
Yeah. I think Baines is probably the only one some of us consider. I mean, I considered Baines purely for his set pieces.
To be fair, I thought Sturridge, because I knew if I was going for Messi, I'd have to sort of get someone who was a little bit cheaper. I ended up going with Lukaku.
I was
thinking of Sturridge at one point, because I thought there's no way he won't score in the
He is a goal threat, yeah, definitely.
I thought there's no way
But the problem is, are England only going to play three games? I think that's what comes in your head then.
That was what I thought the whole time.
If you're out playing, picking teams, you don't want to pick the kid who has to go in because his mum's calling him for dinner after 20 minutes, which is essentially what England might be. They might be done in three games and you've got two England players on your side. But
that is
pretty astonishing for three people supporting England not to pick the England pair. And I think, looking at the percentages, a lot of people have done the same. It was something like, with one day to go, 2.6% of people have picked Wayne Rooney. That's incredible, 2.6%.
Yeah. I think if you look at the England squad and the regular season fantasy football, I don't know how many of the players, apart from, as you said, Baines, I don't know how many of them I'd ever pick for a regular season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think of anybody.
I think I had Henderson in for a little bit this season, but other than that, you're probably right, yeah.
I did have Sterling for a while.
Oh, nice.
Towards the end.
Yeah. Well, and he's been the high point, really, of that England performance.
Yes, absolutely. But I'd like to see his score, because I can't imagine that he's, as well as he played, and he was, I think, our standout player.
Yeah.
I'd like to see his score in this, because, like you say, I mean, I don't know. I don't think he didn't assist the
in
goal.
In a point,
did he?
No, Rooney didn't got assist. The assist.
Yeah,
as well.
It was Rooney. So, as well as he played, he didn't necessarily get a lot of points. So, would you have him in your team?
Well, you don't get points for keeping the ball and tidy passing. Yeah, that's why like Pirlo won't necessarily score you many points all the time, even though he's a phenomenal player. But I think England Italy actually has been the highest quality from both sides in any of the games.
It was a great game.
You look at Germany, Portugal. Germany were phenomenal, but Portugal weren't quite as good. Spain, Holland, the same. I think the quality of the game from both sides as a consistency, I think England Italy was probably the best there. So I think England, they did all right, really.
They did. I mean, I felt positive afterwards. I think Gerrard summed it up. He said, all of that and we came away with nothing. And we may as well have got beaten 5-0.
Yeah.
Effectively. But it was really promising. Like, I didn't go to bed pissed off that night.
Yeah.
You know?
That anyway.
No. I went to bed pissed on. example of the sort of jokes there. I felt pretty good about it. I thought, we should have. It would have been nice to come out with a draw from that. But I didn't feel too disheartened by it. I thought, we've I think we got that second spot.
So here it is, money where mouth is, before we move on. England-Uruguay coming up. Obviously, the Costa Rica now, spanner in the works. They're
yeah,
no mugs.
Absolutely, that was...
Do England progress, yes or no, Tom?
I think we will, yeah. I think we will.
Yeah?
Yeah. And second in that group, I think.
Do you then consider putting an England player on your side?
Nah.
No.
I don't think I will.
Ash, England progress, yes or no?
Yeah, I reckon.
You think so?
Well, I tell you what, I think we're probably the worst team in our group, technically, even probably worse than Costa Rica. Like, if you saw us against Italy and coming up to it, especially against, was it Honduras we played in the friendly?
Yeah.
I thought we looked shocking, like they can't, unless it's like a sort of Hollywood Gerrard ball.
Yeah.
They can't pass it between them, not like when you see Germany or no. Uruguay, any of them. But they're so quick on the counter-attack, it sort of plays into our hands. If they can't keep hold of the ball,
yeah,
it's not like it was under like Capello where they tried to keep hold of it. I don't think this team can even do it.
Yeah.
So we'll lose the ball. But we're really good on the counter-attack.
Yeah.
So it sort of plays into our hands. So maybe we'll score a couple.
But you think it's going to be through that kind of Sterling, Sturridge, quick?
Yeah, break. I think we're so bad, we might just do it.
You really are going for the Mighty Ducks thing. That's it. We're going to expect Gerrard to be leading everyone. Quack, quack, quack in the middle of the pitch and we're there. Well, cool. That's us running through kind of what we've got so far. The MVPs of the week so far speak for themselves, really. You've got Robin Van Persie. Yeah. Muller, Neymar, all the big guns are playing.
Well, can I just say before as well, I did the original draft of this this team, and I had Van Persie and Robin in there. No Pepe. and someone else who got a shitload of points. And then I took
In the shoulda, woulda, coulda league, you're smashing
I am.
You're doing all right.
Yeah, and that's the main league.
That is the main league.
That's the main one.
But there is still time to join us if you're listening. You can get in at the Gaffer Tapes on Twitter. We've got all the details of the mini league there. Try and compete with me, Craig there, the Nepalese builders at the top of the league. And try and get in there. And try and beat Tom, so just log in.
Please.
And Ash, obviously, 80 out of 3.76 million or whatever it was. But at the moment, he's lingering in mid-table.
Well, I'll see the 80th out of our 15.
In a league of 15. So get involved, at the Gaffer Tapes on Twitter to get in the Gaffer Tapes Mini League for the World Cup 2014.
Hello and welcome back to the Gaffer Tapes World Cup Super Special.
Yeah.
Here we're going through the Gaffer Gambler, our usual sort of gambling segment, obviously. What's anybody got? Anything for us, Tom?
Tom's got a bit of a story from beforehand, being the big gambler that he is.
Well, yeah, I never gamble. What I usually do is I hear about a bet and I'll get my friends to put a bet on for me because I'm scared of bookies.
Hold on a minute.
Hang on, wait. Is it the pens? Don't trust them.
Yeah,
too small.
Tiny pens. I go in and I feel like I'm a giant and I just space out. No, I never bet, and I just heard Golden Boot, Yaya Toure, to get the Golden Boot, was at one point 150-1.
Yeah.
And I thought, with his form, the league that the Ivory Coast are in, and I thought that's worth it. He takes free kicks, takes penalties.
Yeah.
It's worth a few quid, so I stuck a fiver on it.
Yeah.
It was 125-1 when I stuck.
You then text me.
Fiver. I text you.
I then put a fiver on it.
Did you put a fiver
on it?
Yeah,
I did. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's not going well. I don't know why you're smiling.
Yeah, I know. I'm just glad because you're quite the seasoned gambler, aren't you? Not in a sort of like
don't call me a degenerate.
Not in like ruin your life sort of way.
Not
with
now.
You like to have a flutter.
Now it might.
You know, you sort of.
My mum's listening to this.
You've ruined her life as well.
She's
all right.
She hasn't checked her purse in ages.
I thought I'd go for it, and I think that's it was pretty good odds, wasn't it?
At the time they were slightly up, but obviously I do a bit of betting, and I'm trying to just good guy I am help everyone become millionaires over the course of the World Cup. So we have got our kind of the Gaffer Gambler section where we talk about odds and what's either coming up, any good success stories from bets before. Don't want to boast, but I, beginning this World Cup, I took £10.
Yeah.
I've turned into £28 at this day.
Okay.
At the end of Group 1, so keep plugging away at that. And
what sort of shit were you betting on?
Just big boy shit, mate.
So, just trying to talk like a gambler.
That's how they talk.
Yeah, that's how they say.
Yeah.
That's what I worry, that I'm going to walk into a bookies and they're going to say something that I don't understand, like some kind of lingo.
But they're mainly drunk.
Like, do you want to do a bet? Yeah. They're like,
what bet do you want to do?
Yeah, what bet would you like to do, sir?
The good bet with the
I'll have 3 shillings on trap 2, please. Is that what you're worried about?
That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah. But that's the weird thing in bookies, actually. They deal with guineas, not pounds. I think you won't bet because you realise it involves setting up an online account and you're scared of the internet.
I am scared of the internet.
And I think that's what it is.
I know.
Despite being a Twitter celebrity, you're scared of the internet.
Well, I didn't want to bring that up, but yeah.
At the Tom Holmes, is it?
At the _Tom_Holmes. At Tom Holmes.
The best
taken.
Bit of that is everyone's going to spell your name wrong, so
the
it doesn't matter.
_Tom_Holmes.
Sorry.
Go for it, Ash.
Well, I don't want to upset you. As the as you outshone me as the resident expert, I'm actually on a massive £42.
Wow!
From a fiver this World Cup.
Wow!
I've done
that's good.
The opening game.
I doffed my cap.
Brazil to win, Neymar to score, first goal. I thought I'd lost it, but someone could explain to me how I still won, even though he didn't score the first goal. I don't know if own goals don't count. Or
yeah, I've had an incident with this before. The Argentina game paid out.
Oh, really?
As well, which is strange because normally own goals. Depends on the bookie. They're obviously feeling generous because they're making that much money off everyone from the Spain-Holland game.
Tom.
Tom.
They had my bloody fiver.
Tonky's giving them 1,000 guineas every time they ask.
Every time. So he's
all right.
So you guys both went, what is everybody's golden boot? I take a ball bet on
Yaya Golden Touré. Boots. Yaya Touré, 125-1. I only did it because it was so long and he does take set pieces, but pre-tournament, obviously, the odds are very different after the first game. So you could get as long as 12 or 14-1 on someone like Neymar. Obviously, Muller's scored now a hat-trick, and that's changed everything. But Muller's odds have shrunk to 2-1 from some bookies on the Golden Boot, and he's only one goal ahead of the nearest competition. You can actually still get, I checked, 9-1 on Robbie Van Persie and 7-1 on Neymar. And the way the odds work, before the tournament, every single player in the tournament, every 23-man squad are all on an even keel, so you're competing against hundreds of other players. Whereas now, realistically, it's already a 7- or 8-horse race, unless someone like Ronaldo bangs a hat-trick or something like that.
Because you look at the amount of goals that have been scored, that the Golden Boot winner has scored. Like last season, I think it was 5. Last World Cup, it was 5. Before then, I think it was 6.
Normally it's between 5 and 7. That's where it gets you. So for Neymar to already be out at 7-1, even though Brazil are likely to get through to the semis or the final, and they're at host nation, and he's their main goal threat, seems particularly long and worth a bet. Obviously, I'm betting on it, so it's guaranteed to fail at some point.
That does sound like a good
shout. Have you already gone for, because I got Neymar, 5 at 12-1?
Yeah, pre-tournament.
Yeah, did you as well?
No, I didn't. And in a weird way, this is better odds than that, just because he now has a 2-goal head start on a lot of players, and the likes of, you know, Holland aren't as tipped to go as far in a tournament, although they did absolutely batter Spain.
And so I think with Van Persie, just as a player, he will score, and he may go and score another couple, you know, along the line, but I could definitely see him not scoring on several games, because I think that's the way that Holland play as well.
As the outrights go, obviously that's where, you know, most money goes from kind of non less season bettors, and Brazil and Argentina are still numbers 1 and 2 in the odds for winning the World Cup, which, bearing in mind, I think the South American teams actually struggled a bit compared to what you'd think. Everyone talked about how they were going to just smash everything before them. It was going to be easy, the climate, the crowds.
Yeah.
And actually, I think they've actually struggled a little bit. You look at Uruguay, Brazil weren't convincing against Croatia. In fact, Croatia were kind of robbed by some bad refereeing decisions. Germany are then 3rd at 9-2, which I quite like because they looked unbelievable.
They did look
good. Are they really?
Yeah, they're third favourites are 9-2. And then, astonishingly, we've then got Spain are still 11-1 and Holland still 12-1. Now, Spain lost the first game in the, like, I think 11-1 for Spain's very generous still.
Yeah.
What was it? Any idea what it was pre-tournament?
I don't know what it was, but it wasn't 11-1. Obviously, they've lost that first game, but they're still going to progress from the group. And then when you get to knockout football, that's a different football. It's a different tournament. They know how to win tournaments, unlike someone like Holland who don't know how to win tournaments.
Mm.
And you could argue that of Argentina as well. So I think Spain at 11-1 is still very generous. My favourite tip, other than Germany at 9-2, is Honduras at 5,000-1. So
5,000-1.
I would probably back that if in the second half of it changed to a rugby competition.
Yeah.
Because that does seem to be their main focus. UFC rugby competition.
Well, I didn't want to say the odds are actually shorter on one of their players becoming a UFC middleweight champion. Because it was the most physical game I think I've ever seen in my entire life. But so Honduras at 5,000-1. Just as a tip for anyone listening, just give money to charity. There's kids out there who need some money. Is. Don't bet on Honduras. As it happens as well, England are out of 25-1 and Italy at 18-1. And Italy quite impressive, actually. So yeah, I find that a strange one because individually they do have the kind of package that could win a World Cup, but people obviously don't fancy them. But 18-1 for Italy and I think 11-1 for Spain are definitely worth a few quid.
What do you think about as far as betting strategies? I've got a thing where I bet previously on stuff and, you know, you look at the odds and it sways you. And then a little while ago I decided, right, that's it. I'm just going to bet with my heart, just go 100% what I think and not be swayed. Because the whole idea of betting is they try and, ooh, tempt you away, look
at this.
Of
course, yeah.
So often I bet against what I actually think to get the better odds. Do you look at the odds or do you just go 100%, like, this is it? Like, who do you think is going to win the World Cup?
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Because really, you should never bet on anything other than what you think is going to win.
Mm.
And that's your point. If I think Brazil are going to win the World Cup, why in a million years, no matter what the odds were, would I bet on anything else? But it's a numbers game and a stats game. One that I usually lose. Although my £18 profit would beg to differ. So, I don't know. Yeah, I normally get sucked in. I'm the idiot who gets a 2-for-1 at the supermarket, even though he didn't want the one, and is now home with two things he never wanted. So that's kind of how I live my life. So
Tom's looking at you like that is the dream. Like, you go to the supermarket and get two things.
Get two things for the price of one. Because obviously I don't go in supermarkets because I don't know what to do.
Where do you go? There's no bookies, no supermarket. Anywhere you feel comfortable?
Just relaxing. I'm quite the man for the bath.
Yeah.
I know what to do. I've got the
just relaxing at TomHolmesComedy.com.
Yeah, TomHolmesComedy.com. Get on that. I relax when I write my vlog every Friday. That'll be uploaded.
And that's released. And he relaxes before every gig.
London circuit. Get yourself down there. Many gigs coming up. And in Edinburgh, I'll probably be chilling out for a month.
You're going to Edinburgh?
Yeah.
I mean, all of that felt very natural.
Yeah,
so
it
was good.
Like a natural stage presence.
That's what they say.
When I'm on stage.
Cheeky chappy, yeah. Natural stage presence. But you, no more bets for you? Is the betting done?
No, not unless something... Do you know what it was? Is I heard about this 150-1 and I thought... And I kept thinking about it. And I thought, I never bet... And I thought, do you know what? I am going to have to stick something on it because it will happen if I don't. Now I've put the money on, you know, and I've lost me halfpenny. I'm not. You know, it's not going to come in. But if I hadn't,
dream though, isn't it? You're the one that gets it right.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like
yeah.
When you actually break it down, what they're saying is, if the World Cup was played 150 times, that would happen once.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you think about
but I just thought it was such a ridiculous odds. You know, saying that, for saying that, I mean, how good Yaya Toure was last season, the things he did, 22 goals from midfield?
Yeah, something like that.
You know, and the fact that he is taking all their set pieces, and I thought they're going to thump, you know, two of the teams in their league. All he has to do is score a hat-trick.
Yeah, I mean, that's it in a World Cup.
That's effectively
and those players
are
10 to a penny. Those players who have scored a hat-trick in a World Cup.
Yeah.
Can't move for hat-trick World Cup players.
Well, we've already had
We have
had one in the first round of games.
Yeah, so yeah. The next one could be Yaya.
What's the bloody odds on that? Yeah?
If we had done this last week, I could have told you.
Yeah,
but by that logic, I think if the World Cup was played 11 times, Spain would win it more than once. And I think that's what makes that a good bet.
Are they the force that they used to be? Are they, you know...
Yeah, but no one's really turned up except Germany. And Holland.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I don't think. But so there's our tips for us. We would say Spain at 11-1, even Italy at 18s, and maybe have a couple of quid on Neymar for the golden boot. Other than that, I would say we'll be getting, you know, keeping you posted on our Twitter of our gambling as well for
Craig's gambling addiction. We will be raising money
for
that. Yeah, so he can
eat. We'll be there. You can bet on whether Craig has to go into GA Gamblers Anonymous at some point. It's at the Gaffer Tapes. I would say over 2.5 goals has been an absolute blinder in this tournament because there's hardly been any boring games. Both teams to score, with the exception of Iran-Nigeria, which I know we all stayed up for. On that bad boy, that was quite the game.
It was awful.
It's all about goals in game. Over 2.5 goals, both teams to score. I think that's where the money's at. And a second round of boring nil-nils.
That's
definitely what's going
to happen. Keep posted with the Twitter. Like I say, at the Gaffer Tapes, we can keep posted with that. We are going to be coming back with part 3 of the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football World Cup podcast special, where we'll be running through what's coming up. And Tom's got a couple of little hilarious anecdotes.
Ditties.
Ditties. So we'll be right back with that.
Hello, welcome back to the third part of the Beth Tapes Fantasy Football World Cup special. Goblins.
It's catchy.
We need to work on it.
In the ordinary season, yeah. It's catchy.
Let's just put my name in and just...
The Tom Holmes podcast.
Tom Holmes World Cup. The Tom Holmes World Cup special.
That worked. We need to work on the title.
Featuring Tom Holmes. Yeah.
It's featuring Tom Holmes, written by Tom Holmes. Read by Tom Holmes.
So we've
covered the first week. Or the first set of games, and second set of games. What do we reckon? We got the who are you going to be looking out for in the second?
Obviously, the way things work, you can't get to change your team up in the World Cup one.
Yeah, that's
true. If I was to put someone in going forward, I think my tip would probably be from the Bosnia team. Bosnia impressed me a lot.
Yeah.
In their opening game, I thought they looked good. I think they're a decent side. It's their first World Cup. I'll be surprised if they don't go through to the knockout stage. And I think they're playing Nigeria, Bosnia in the next ones. And Edin Dzeko, I think it's a bit of an obvious one, but he's a threat in any game of football in the Premier League. And I think, I mean, do you agree? Bosnia looked good, right?
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah, I was surprised actually. I think it's watching them play. I kind of thought, I like that. And it's inevitable that England do go out. I was like, I'd quite like to back Bosnia actually.
Yeah,
I think they were quite a promising team.
I've got Dzeko in my team up front,
right?
Because I think Bosnia are like Belgium are like the hipster choice.
They are very hipster.
Yeah, but they are. Isn't they? Yeah.
Bosnia are the real. Obviously, they were my dark horses.
Yeah.
So they're the professional hipsters.
Well, we actually had a tweet from Will Monk at Will Monk in our league, who's sitting bottom, and he did actually say that he's fed up with people calling Belgium the dark horses. They're the fifth favourites for the tournament or something. It's like, it's very obvious dark horse choice. Anyone who doesn't know anything about football, you know that bloke who just goes, do you know who I think might be?
Yeah,
well, they'll
say
Belgium, even though like it's pretty obvious they've got an unbelievable side.
Although, I think they might have proved my theory here, that Belgium are sort of the Tottenham of the World Cup. They've got a good squad of players. And like every time you see the Premiership, every time, especially the last couple of years, someone comes along. You're like, oh, who's this guy?
Yeah.
Never heard of him. He's amazing. Oh, of course, he plays for Belgium. Like, every single person, every player in their squad. But then, so you look at it, oh, they've got this world squad, like Tottenham, oh, they've assembled this mental squad for all this money. And they could break into the top four, like Spain or whatever. But then, actually, they're not going to.
Yeah.
They're going to be rubbish.
Mm.
So they're my tip to fail.
Right. Well, like, I mean, I haven't got any of those in my... I just don't think there's enough about them yet. But I think it's all about what groups you're in and... Dzeko, Bosnia have played their hardest game in their group.
Yeah,
they've got two games now where they could pile on some goals, and I think you know their main goal threat is obviously Dzeko. He's proved in the Premiership when he plays, he scores goals regardless whether he comes off the bench or not. So I think Dzeko, anyone who's got him for this set of games, he's going to score some points. I think, and that's kind of my tip. What about you, boys?
Balotelli for me. I think he's pretty much he's going to be getting the lion's share of Italy's goals, I think.
Yeah.
You do like a red card.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like I say, I mean, he didn't, you know, I didn't put him in my team because of that reason. But I think, depending on, you know, how he does up until the point, I think I'm definitely going to be looking at Balotelli.
Any player who's as likely to score a hat-trick as he is to slap the fourth official around the face of his dick is my kind of player.
Yeah.
And Balotelli falls into that category.
There is something about him that I like.
He's a troubled genius.
I'd quite like to see him back in the Premiership, which leads me to the recent rumour that Balotelli to Arsenal, which originally started when I heard that Puma are going to be our kit supplier for the next season, so we're going to go away from Nike for the first time in 15 years or something.
Yeah.
And part of the deal, they want to give us some money, up to 15 million or something, to sign Balotelli.
Why Balotelli? Is he a
because
Puma guy?
He's a Puma guy. He's their number one Puma guy.
Yeah.
So to have him in a Puma kit over at Arsenal, you know, that's the idea.
That's quite impressive.
I've heard that a while.
Kit names are starting to sign players because I just wonder where are Gola going to go and
who
are they signing?
Absolutely.
That's the big question.
Fila.
Yeah.
You know?
Ball boy shoes. Do you remember them?
Yeah, there's all the big ones.
Seeker Blades.
Yeah.
I mean, Seeker Blades.
Assets.
Now we're just saying words.
Yeah, I know.
Now we're just saying nostalgia.
I'm good at that.
But did you see the tweet from Balotelli today where he had bought a Panini album and put his sticker in every single Italy
song? Is that the official Balotelli Twitter? Because there is a Balotelli Twitter that isn't official. But he's got a shit really load of
good. Follow that.
Really good. Yeah, I think it's. I think that he's had to actually say it is a parody account.
Yeah,
but yeah,
he's the kind of guy that would start up his own parody account, though.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If anyone's got that in their locker, it's Balotelli.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. This is the guy that can do it. Didn't he go in and like go into Nando's and pay for everyone's meal? He's like giving away drives around giving away Christmas presents. He's a lad, isn't
Classic
he?
Mario.
Classic Mario.
Classic.
So who's yours then? Tip for this round of games, Ash.
Well, I don't think he's going to score. Points wise,
always a good start.
Yeah, exactly. So,
this is the expert. This is the resident expert.
Smile on his face.
This is my obvious choice. I like a good underdog. Someone that's not going to score any points.
Little Jimmy with no legs, is it?
But I tell you who is good, Valbuena for France, and because obviously I didn't pick Benzema, who scored and looked pretty good because I think he's useless. But Valbuena looked well good and pretty much was the heart of everything they did. He is awesome. Like to cut the other team to bits.
You see him a bit of a kind of a young French Pirlo, like pulling the strings.
Yeah. Especially with what's Ribery out of the team. I mean, it's got to fall to some other people.
People like Valbuena and Pogba with Ribery. I need to step up, really, don't they? And Pogba looks good as well.
Exactly.
Also crazy as well, though. Pogba. He's not all there.
Well, they do have that. I think France. I mean, this is a bit stereotype, like textbook punditry sort of thing. But you've got to think France, Belgium, Holland have all got in their locker to have a good meltdown.
Yeah.
Like a good, oh, we're doing well, let's all throw our toys out of the pram and have a disaster.
Yeah.
I don't know who you think's most likely. I reckon
Holland for me normally. Yeah. They don't seem to deliver when they should. They always have, phenomenal players and have done for years, but they never quite deliver. I think English fans like to think of them, English fans often compare themselves to Holland when the truth is we're nowhere near as good as them and haven't been for a long time.
No, that's right. Yeah.
But Holland really should have won more tournaments when you look at it retrospectively. But France are a weird one because France kind of struggled for a long time. Everyone laughed at them, wrote them off. And then all of a sudden they've come into the World Cup with unbelievable form in certain things. And they actually look quite decent. And Benzema can be on form, obviously. Then you don't like him, though.
Well, I don't know. They did a couple of years ago what England are sort of doing now, where they had their old team that won everything.
Yeah.
And then suddenly turned useless and got smashed.
Yeah.
And then they tried to bring in loads of youth players, didn't they?
Yeah.
But then had to end up right at the last minute, just before the previous World Cup, had to get Zidane back and all that.
Yeah. Were they mutinied at the last World Cup? Didn't they?
I don't know. Yeah, that's
Patrick
right.
It was the last one.
Patrice Evra led a rebellion where they refused to train.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, right.
But then now it's sort of worked out. Now a lot of their young players are coming back in. Now they've got rid of a lot of the old players and the young players are in. They're starting to look good again. But so I don't know. Maybe in a... It does sort of hold hope for England. Maybe in 4 years, same thing will happen to us. Then once we got rid of now the Lampard, Gerrard, useless midfield, like let's just pick our most famous players.
Yeah. So now we just need a 5'2" midfielder to run the show for us, like Valbuena. So you heard it here first. You heard it at the Gaffer Tapes. You've got Balotelli, Valbuena, Edin Dzeko. If they're not the top scorers, then you'll officially never hear from us again.
And
that's how it works. So there's our fantasy football tips for this coming week. We're so confident that we didn't put them in our sides. And we're pretty confident they're going to absolutely smash it. Now, we should talk, obviously the World Cup's going on and everyone's talking about football, but everyone's also talking about football commentary and how horrendous some of it's been. It's like the biggest talking point of the World Cup so far. Phil Neville, for the first time in his career, has stopped. Since Euro 2000, when he gave away a penalty, Phil Neville's never had so many headlines.
No.
Everyone's talking about Phil Neville and how ridiculously bad his punditry and commentary is. Have you heard it?
Well, where I was watching the England game, it was so loud, but I couldn't really hear it. But I kept getting texts throughout the game. There was a German guy.
From Phil Neville.
Well, obviously, all of my fantasy football tips. But there was a German guy next to me, and he was like, "Who is this Neville?" He's the one. I couldn't really hear the commentary. And he was saying to me, "This is the worst. This is like, how do people put up with this in your country?" And then I just kept getting text after text from people being like, "This is the worst thing ever. This is destroying football. This is worse than Adrian Charles."
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's pretty impressive.
He puts me in mind of a young Michael Owen. When Owen first started on BT Sport, it was shit.
All those years ago.
It was, I mean, what was it, about 9 months
ago? It does feel like a long time ago.
And I actually watched the first game. It was a Stoke game. And I remember Owen's first thing he said was, I can't do the accent, but he went, "The thing with Crouchy..."
You're going to try anyway.
The thing... What is it? Michael Owen?
It's not Gary Barlow.
I think it's Mark Owen. Anyway, he said, "The thing with Crouchy is..." And he left a massive pause. And he went, he's a really tall lad. And that was the first thing I thought, this is going to be fantastic.
Can't argue with that, though.
And that, well, it's true, it's true. It's statistically correct, but it's just, I don't think it had any relevance.
What a lot of the TV networks get wrong is they assemble what is a good five-a-side team.
Yeah.
Essentially, they just think, like BT Sport did it. They went, David James, McManaman, Owen Hargreaves, Michael Owen, this is phenomenal. Yeah. This is going to be great. And then you realise, oh, God, they're dull.
The only one that really has come out, I mean, for saying how shit Phil Neville is, Gary Neville's fucking
but that's
brilliant.
Clearly what they've done.
Yeah.
They thought
he's going to be as good. Was he as good as a footballer?
Yeah,
No.
I fully expect for the next round of games for Neville, their dad, to be on. Just because he's a Neville. Neville Squared. Neville will be on the next. Tracy Neville, England netball player. Get the Nevilles in.
In fact, I
want a Neville-based reality show, essentially, at home with the Nevilles.
At home with the Nevilles.
I think that's what we want.
I was pretty surprised because, obviously, naturally, like everybody, I hate Phil Neville. Oh, no, Gary Neville. Both of them, but especially Gary Neville. And when he went to Sky, I thought, this is going to be the worst thing ever. Yeah. This is the death now. But he's actually pretty good.
Everyone
so is Carragher.
Him. Everyone loves him.
No, he's phenomenal. They're great. They've changed it all up. I think Phil Neville is getting so much hate and stick. Apparently they've taken to Twitter with absolute abuse for Phil Neville. And like you read something this
yes,
morning.
Yes, absolutely. Well, yeah, all I did was Google. I just Googled Twitter to look at it on my work computer. And the first thing that came up was wrong.
Hang on, wait. You wait. Go
no,
back.
No,
you,
no, no.
You Googled Twitter.
You
didn't know. So to get on Twitter,
Google
you
Twitter.
Googled Twitter.
Yeah.
You didn't just type in twitter.com.
To what? To Google?
To the internet.
It's embarrassing. You've got more Twitter followers than either me or Ash.
Put together, yeah, times probably about three.
Yeah, you so, still you still have to Google Twitter to get onto Twitter.
Yeah, big time.
Oh my word.
Swift, isn't it? Swift.
Anyway, you Google Twitter up. As you do.
Google Twitter. And then the top thing that comes up is Twitter. So I clicked on it. No, before I clicked on that, one of the headlines there on Google, google.com. Check it out. It's a new revelation.
You heard it here first.
It's a new revelation, yeah. Is wrong Phil Neville receives Twitter abuse and death threats.
What?
So it turns out a radiator salesman called Phil Neville has received hundreds of abusive tweets intended for his footballing namesake. Mr. Neville from Suffolk was bombarded with Twitter messages to his account at Phil Neville. Well, that's where he's gone wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's be honest. By fans who were unhappy with the ex-England star's World Cup TV commentary for the BBC on Saturday. It goes on to say, that he was criticised for being...
Does it give us any good examples of tweets?
Well, one of the tweets was, obviously they can't put on anything to, I hope you die. Now, that's quite, if you think Phil Neville's a little bit boring, he goes, oh, this is boring, but to tweet him and go, I hope you die.
Well, in
that's
fairness...
That's excessive, isn't it? Let's be honest.
In fairness, it's... Person's not clarified that he's actually aiming for the TV.
Could have been sold a dodgy radiator.
Yeah, it could have sold a dodgy. I hope you die because that radiator blew up and it killed your kitten. Something like that.
That's true. You know. I love the fact that when. How do we differentiate these people? When radiator salesman Phil Neville, not son of Neville, Phil Neville, when he set up his Twitter, he thought. He's only gone and not taken up at Phil Neville. He's got a proper smug look on his. Fuck you, Phil. I've got at Phil Neville.
This will never backfire.
Never, ever.
This will never backfire.
Which is what he says about his radiators as well, which is good. So that kind of works.
It's his motto.
Yeah. But do you think the other way around? Do you think Phil Neville footballers ever had wrong abuse where someone's gone, your fucking radiator's a shit, mate? Do
yeah,
one.
Exactly.
The other way around.
Yeah. Well, because he's at Philip Neville and he often gets people going, your radiators are awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, you know, if you do want to tweet,
you get a disease.
If you've got a problem with radiators, remember to tweet at Phil Neville. And if you've got a problem with dire mundane commentary, remember to tweet at Philip Neville or at the Gaffer Tapes.
Yeah,
for absolutely any of them.
Although it does say here, Phil Neville, the radiator man, Phil Neville. He does say that working in the sales industry, my name has been a benefit because people do remember me. So
wow.
They go, Phil Neville! Phil Neville!
Associating with the radiators.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
It's a bloody good story.
Apparently Phil Neville's taking it on board and he says he's going to try and make things better.
Really?
Resignation
son
suicide.
Son of Neville, Phil Neville, not the radiator Phil Neville. Yeah. He's perfectly happy with business currently. But other talking points, because I obviously, I don't have to Google Twitter, I just tend to go straight to it.
Wait. Who then? So, because I still think there's some controversy over the Phil Neville thing. because I don't think he's the worst commentator by a long way.
At the World Cup or in general?
Well, at the World Cup, even at the World Cup.
Who do you think? Robbie Savage?
No, well, oh, well, here, I don't know how he's allowed on there, but who is the other ITV one? Who are the two ITV?
Well, Adrian Charles, the punditry. What do you mean commentators?
Yeah, I mean, Charles is bad, but I mean...
Matt Townsend?
Townsend is the dream. Yeah. He is the all-time heavyweight champion of bad commentary, surely.
I quite like Townsend's attempt to empathise with football. Whenever someone will talk to him, he'll go, well, you know what it's like when you play in big European finals, you've got to turn up. How do you know what it's like to play in a big European final?
The thing with Townsend is he's, I think it was Townsend the other day, he's just so down on everything.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awful.
Well, he does...
Oh, that was terrible. Oh,
well, God. He also chose for 8 years of his career to pretend to be Irish, so I'm not quite sure why he qualifies to talk about England games.
He does the same thing that Keyes and Gray used to do, where... They're the...
grab women's arses?
Or... Yeah. Well, I mean, I imagine so. But they're... Everything that happens, they just say the exact opposite. I think that's one of the things that makes Neville not feel quite good, is he'll, surprisingly, someone does something, he's not afraid to sort of tear him to bits.
Oh, yeah.
But also, he says,
absolutely,
like...
Absolutely, yeah.
He sort of says, oh, why did they do that? Like, you know, like saying Neymar, like, tries to smash it in, he'll go like, oh, yeah, well, Neymar's tried to hit it into the bottom corner. I think, you know, that's the way he normally plays or something. Whereas if you watch, if you listen to the other one, what he does every single time is, he just says the opposite. Whatever happened, he'll go like, oh, well, he's tried to like put his laces through it there. You think sometimes you really want to just try and side foot it in.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, Messi really wants to take your advice.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we saw he missed it.
Like, that's the thing. It's okay to admit you don't know. Like, I haven't seen much of him play this season. Like, you get a lot of commentators pretending they've watched a lot of the Dutch leagues. They haven't. They clearly haven't.
Yeah,
when would they?
Yeah. Well, you never catch us doing that.
It's okay. Yeah, exactly. It's okay not to do that.
I did hear that Phil Neville, the day before the England game, I was watching a bit of BBC Sport, and they were saying that Phil Neville was on it, saying he's really done his research into the Italian team and all this stuff. So you know he was pretty much just rattling off facts. He just didn't want to sound stupid, but then he thought, I've forgotten about sounding like a boring. That's the thing.
It was like a eulogy for the entire commentary.
Yeah. And I saw the greatest tweet ever. There was a picture of him. Did you see when he was chatting to Claire Balding, I think it was?
I mean, that's a conversation anyone want to see.
Is Balding... No.
That's some Frost Nixon Balding's shit right there.
Gabby Logan. He was out there talking to Gabby Logan. And he had this really baggy Nike polo shirt on. Really baggy Nike polo shirt. And he's got this, like, these blonde highlights in his hair. And someone had tweeted... Phil Neville will be commentating on the football later, just after he's sold someone some weed on his BMX. And he did look like he rides around on a BMX selling weed.
Maybe next World Cup you could pitch your starting 11 and a commentator and they get round to the every game. That'd be good. Because Phil Neville right now would be bottom. Thierry Henry as a pundit will be up there. He's an absolute G. The guy's amazing.
The thing with Henry, he looks like he smells fantastic. And I will say that.
I would watch him rip apart Robbie Savage every day of the week. So
with his bare hands.
It's phenomenal. You've got Thierry Henry, Patrick Vieira, and then Robbie Savage. Yeah. Like, he doesn't deserve to be in the room with them.
Well, because there's a sexiness quota, and then they just have to...
It's also
just
an achievement. It's as if they've basically gone... Robbie Savage has nipped in and gone, is it two sugars, guys? 3, 2, 1, you're on air. You just have to take a seat and carry on.
What have you done, Robbie?
Won the Worthington Cup once.
Yeah, Worthington Cup.
Yeah, that's about it, next to two absolute legends and Gary Lineker.
But, I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this. My absolute top tip for the World Cup, and I'm full of top tips today, is listen... for the themes of the World Cup. Commentators love this, and every World Cup is amazing. They'll bust out what the theme of the World Cup is straight away. Already, goals from behind is the first one I've heard.
Right.
But as it goes on, they'll be like, the theme for this World Cup, the dead set, the theme for this World Cup.
Yeah.
But every time, it gets so good, because they're like, the theme for this, games. It's been a real big theme for this World Cup.
Games.
Goals. People on football pitches. Colourful pictures.
But this is it.
Yeah. Stuff that is guaranteed to be at every World Cup is the theme for just this specific one.
Yeah.
Just for the Brazil World Cup.
Six-figure salaries to tell you that goals are the theme of the World Cup.
Yeah, like pitches. Yeah. Like they've been playing on some pitches.
That is astounding.
This thing.
Yeah. Astounding stuff.
Grass.
God, yeah, exactly.
About it.
Well, I think Phil Neville apparently has said that he's going to get better. He says he's going to take it on board and he's going to try and improve.
I actually feel quite sorry for Phil
Neville. So do I now.
I feel really sorry for him.
He's not the only talking point. The other kind of talking points a lot, especially trending on Twitter at the moment, goal line technology is big.
Goal line technology has really come into its own this World Cup particularly, I think.
And the commentators have fared well understanding that.
Oh, well, my word. Yeah, Jonathan Pearce's lack of understanding of goal line technology, he went crazy. I think he thought he was back on Robot Wars. He was 1 second away from saying Matilda was going to come in at some point.
Maybe he was having some sort of flashback. He thought they were attacking
him. Having a breakdown is what he was having. He didn't understand that all they were doing was showing us that the ball hadn't crossed the line, then it had crossed the line. Mm. It's all worked pretty well. I mean, the technology guys are getting their money's worth, because even when the goal like puts a hole in the net and hits someone in the front row, they still show you whether it crossed the line or not. So it has been a bit, you know, but you can put bets on whether goal line technology is going to be used in games. It's quite big. And the other one, it got some criticism cynically at first, but the magic spray for free kicks, I think it's great.
I think that would be one of the things that's remembered. I know that they'll probably use it. Yeah, it's kind of one of the things. like last World Cup, it was vuvuzelas. Yeah. Everyone talked about vuvuzelas.
They're
anytime
the worst.
You'd go to a comedy night, I go to so many comedy nights, they're all talking about vuvuzelas.
Yeah.
This time, they're all talking about the spray.
But it's good spray.
Making jokes about the spray. Right, what? This isn't amazingly interesting, but what is the spray? What's actually in it? Is it a foam?
Crystal meth.
Yeah,
I think it's just meth.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it is. I don't know what it is.
Is it a foam?
It's a foam.
Because it literally does disappear.
Yeah, it's a foam. Because at one point they sprayed too much and it sort of went 3D, so to speak.
Wow.
Yeah.
But foam.
The clever player brings their own spray.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when we really start cheating.
And does the ref carry it around with him?
Yeah, the ref's got it in his back pocket.
Yeah.
I think they should be...
I'd want a holster.
They should be applauded.
I'd want a fucking holster.
They have a sort of Batman utility belt.
They should be applauded, because the temptation, it must be overwhelming to just draw a cock.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And I think they're just humans like the rest of us. And the fact they're not drawing cocks...
I'd imagine in some of the warm-up games that must have been the first
when you're practising.
They're sat at home at night. I wonder if they do that. Do they go home,
nip out to the garden, draw a cock?
Yeah.
And we've all done it.
We've all done it.
The only difference is my spray wasn't temporary, so I mean, that affected house pricing. But they can do it. They're all right. But I think it's good. I think it should be in the Premier League. Apparently, it's been used in the Brazilian League for years.
Yeah, so they have been using it.
I think, not to be fair, not that it's ever actually obeyed, because it doesn't.
No, they do step over it a little bit.
They step over it. I mean, it probably, if you had some kind of ratio and a graph... then you'd probably see that they don't step over it as much.
You don't need a graph. You've just done it.
Yeah.
You've just explained it. It's fine.
Pretty much, that's nailed, isn't it?
Don't waste your time on a graph if you're listening.
Don't waste your time on a graph.
We just explained it. They disobey it. But to draw us back on for fantasy football before we go, in terms of the transfer window on this opens in 7 days. Now, we're used to playing Premier League where every week you can shuffle your squad, you make transfers. We're very limited in this one. So 7 days, end of the group stage, I believe, Ash, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
End of the group stages, you get some transfers to obviously shift the dead wood that hasn't been playing or they've gone out of the tournament. So early doors, do you think there's any must-haves that you've got to get in there or get rid for what's been happening so far from one round of games, or is it too early to tell?
I think everybody's going to have... I don't know, when I set my team up, I definitely thought about you wanting to pick players that were going to have some longevity in the tournament.
Yeah.
But I think maybe that might have been a mistake because you get to get rid of four of them.
Yeah.
You might as well just pick four people that... are going to be all right in the opening games and then get battered when they play Brazil in the quarters or whatever. But, so I don't really know.
Do you think a lot of people will be getting Muller in as quick as possible now?
See, well, that's what I was going to say. That was my point, was I was thinking, you know, I've picked a good team. You look at every player I've got there.
Well, the league doesn't say that.
And I'm thinking, no, that's true, that's true. But you don't need to, I don't think you need to change a lot. I wouldn't instantly put Van Persie and Robin in, because I don't think they're going to keep that up. It would have been good to have hindsight and have them in for the first week, but I don't necessarily think that I'm going to get rid of Yaya Toure and Lukaku, maybe Lukaku, and stick those in just because they had a good... Because I don't think they're going to keep it up. I think the players that I've got, I have got good players, and I kind of hope that eventually it's all going to come together, which is what I usually do in the Premier League. I kind of hope that... a lot of players that I use, I give them a chance and then hope that...
No wholesale changes in Tommy's gun.
It's not going to be massive changes. There's going to be another one, but I'm not necessarily going to put in players that had a really, really good...
Opening game.
Is an England player
going to get a look in, or is it no?
If there was going to be an England player, it may be Sturridge. You know, I'd like to say Sterling, but like I said before, I don't think...
Scoring points, he's
going to get points, even though he played so well, and I think he's going to continue to play well.
Ash, you got any transfers you're already looking at, or already thinking about?
Yeah, well, I think you'd have to wait, and it's going to come more to do with... I like to look at the fixtures more than the players, because I think once you've seen who's qualified, there's definitely going to be some teams that scrape through.
Yeah.
And then, like...
Possibly England could be scraping through.
Yeah, exactly. England, although the teams, like the other league we match up with isn't too difficult, is it?
No.
But no, say someone like, I don't know, if one of the lesser teams that's managed to squeak through, and then they get Germany...
Yeah,
and they're going to get smashed, aren't they? So like, Murray will get another hat trick, or Schürrle might come on and get a couple of something like that.
I mean, I'm the same. I don't really know at the moment. When you're top of the league, it's a difficult problem.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. It's difficult. I don't know where to go.
First world problems. The
it is.
What did you guys think of Messi? I was watching the game, and I think the commentators, going back to them, always have this problem. They always did it for Ronaldinho. It's like they get so good. That they put them on this pedestal.
They do. It was the same with Ronaldo in 98.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ronaldo 98 had a panic attack when he swallowed his tongue before the final.
Yeah, he actually had a breakdown.
They had to hold his tongue to stop him from swallowing it and killing himself. Yeah. Literally just before the World Cup.
Yeah, that's about as crazy final. As it gets, in fairness.
That's mad. That's in terms mad. Of sporting that craziness, Messi all day long.
That's up there with the rumour that Frank Bruno thought he was Frankie Dettori for a little while in the late 90s.
Is that real?
No. Have you not heard this?
I've never.
Well, I heard you just make it up now.
Frank Bruno had a boxing ring put up in his garden, right?
Yeah.
And you could only talk to him if you went in the ring with him. And then there was a point where apparently he thought he was Frankie Dettori. And then the Sun ran a story saying, free Frank Bruno, he's not mad. Do you not remember that?
No, I remember the whole thing of him being mad. I never knew that thing about Frankie
Dettori. It might be a rumour, but apparently he thought he was Frankie Dettori.
If there were two more different men in the world, Frank Bruno and Frankie Dettori.
Yeah. Well, one of them is placed in British Sports Personality of the Year, and it's the one with the Italian name. So that says it all. But apparently, well, if we can make Lionel Messi think that he's Carlton Palmer by the end of this tournament, then that would be great for all of us, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I think with Messi, I think he will come good. I don't know if he'll get that golden boot. I don't know if he'll have this amazing World Cup, you know, that he kind of should do. But because this is his peak. He's, 26?
Yeah.
This is going to be his peak World Cup. He was... You know, 22, do the math. He's 22 last time. He's going to be 30 next time.
Wow, that's like a beautiful mind
shift. That's quick. So this is his...
But I think the players don't care about it as much as everyone else does. If Argentina get to a final or whatever, he doesn't give a shit if he wins the Golden Boot. Who cares?
He'll get a couple of goals along the way.
If you get a World Cup medal, then you don't care about a Golden Boot. Absolutely, really. So I think that's what his focus is. But
I think when you look at the amount of pressure the commentators were putting on him, and it was like, he doesn't... When you watch him play, he sort of fades in and out of games. Mm. He's always like that, but he'll pop up and he'll score twice.
Yeah, exactly.
But he set up a goal in the third minute, and they were already saying after like 7 minutes, the commentators were going, oh, well, Messi's not really been in this.
He's been
like,
quiet,
set up a goal in the third minute, and then he scored in the 64th, and it was like, well, I mean...
What more can you do?
Yeah, so I don't know. I think brilliant, but...
I think they'll be fine. The South American teams will come into it and hopefully
I think
Messi
they will.
Well.
It's going to be, like we say... Everything we talked about is very early days. Yeah.
And we all agreed it's probably the best World Cup we remember.
Definitely, so far.
Today.
Absolutely, yeah.
So far. Well, listen, we want to hear if you're listening. Tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes. We want to know, obviously, about your mini leagues, who you've picked, who you're going to be picking, who you tip, or get involved in our league. All the codes and everything's on there. Also, individually, we've got Tom Holmes, who's at the_Tom_Holmes.
Correct, well done.
That's right, so keep track of Tom's fantasy football musings and his comedy gigs coming up.
TomHolmesComedy.com.
Have you got any gigs coming up?
Yeah, thanks, loads, bloody loads.
Any you want to plug?
Any,
no?
Any you want to tell us about?
It's typical that you're so shy about it.
That's it.
Crying Duck Comedy, Monday the 23rd.
When does your Edinburgh?
Edinburgh, thanks for asking, thanks for flagging that up. July 31st to August 24th. Three Sisters Courtyard, the Comedy Bus, 9:15 PM every
Perfect.
Single night.
So if anyone is, we do have any Scottish listeners because they're famous for their World Cup enthusiasm. Scottish fans love hearing three English blokes talk about the World Cup.
Absolutely.
So if you are in Edinburgh at that point and you happen to be a Scottish man who's accidentally stumbled across
a lot of English go
the
up,
gaffer
a lot of
tapes.
English go up.
Yeah, maybe they do. We've also got Ash, obviously, on Twitter at Gremzilla.
The best place to go on Twitter, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but I think I'm ahead of Barack Obama for followers.
Why not?
Really?
I'd have to check.
And foreign policy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so there it is. Or you can catch me at Craig Hazel. Pretty bland compared to the other two. If you want to hear about tweets about football, dating shows, and reality television,
yeah, you love a bit of reality TV.
Then get on there. But most importantly, at the Gaffer Takes. We're going to be obviously back for the main football season, the Premier League. The fixtures get announced very shortly, and we're also going to be through the World Cup, keeping you posted. So keep on board on Twitter. Get involved in our mini league. Let us know who your team is, what you're playing for in your mini league, and all the rest of it. And thank you for listening to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast World Cup Special. We'll be back very shortly from myself, Tom.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
Ash. Catch you guys later.
That's great. And we'll see from you next. Hear from you next time. See from you next time.
Amazing.
Good ending, right? Let's see if I balls up the ending.